Wow, Val, these video announcements are getting professional. That was awesome. Good job. Yes. Hey, could y'all do me a favor? Sometime this week, could you just drop a card or a letter to Pastor Daniel? Sounds like it would really mean a lot to him. He loves it, so yes, that would be great. Turn with me in your Bible this morning to the book of 1 Samuel. Going back into the Old Testament this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to be on a very familiar passage of Scripture today. One of our core values as a church is to raise up the next generation. And we are passionate here at Bethel Church about youth ministry, about children's ministry. What could be more important in the day and age in which we live to raise up godly young people? And so we really want Bethel Church to be a place where kids can come, and it's a place that's safe for them. It's also a place that's joyful and a lot of fun for them, and also a place where they just love learning about God and learning about how to worship the Lord and walk with the Lord. And so we're very, very passionate about our children's ministry, our youth ministry. Now, in order to make all that happen, it takes people. It takes not just anybody. It takes really good people like you. And so this morning, Pastor Ben and his team have a table out in the foyer, and we have a need for more children's ministry volunteers. So if you can serve just even once a month in children's ministry, in fact, Pastor Ben has said they've also have space for people that could just serve whenever there's a fifth Sunday of the month. That's just four times a year, once a quarter, okay? And now he doesn't need everybody to do it just once a quarter, but he needs some people in that slot. And so I just want to encourage you. It takes a lot of people working together to make the children's ministries here at Bethel Church not just good, but great. And so so check that out this morning out in the foyer. I also want to report to you some really exciting news. Last week, we invited you to participate in an offering for Convoy of Hope in their ministering to Ukrainian refugees in Poland. And you've probably been reading in the news, but somewhere between 2 and 2.5 million now refugees have left these areas that have been being attacked by Russia. And so last week we introduced this offering, and I'm really excited to tell you this morning that over $9,000 has come in so far to help the people of Ukraine. So thank you. God bless you. Continue to give if you're able to do that, and we'll funnel that money right to this great ministry called Convoy of Hope. Well, this morning we're going to look at a very, very familiar story, the story of David and Goliath. And we're going to use this story today as kind of a metaphor of spiritual warfare. Now, this is not a metaphor. It's a real historical event, so it's not a metaphor per se, but we're going to use this real historical event of this as a beautiful picture. And the picture is this: that you and God are a majority. You and God are a majority. We might be outnumbered, oversized, or undersized rather, overmatched, but if we are walking in obedience to God and doing our best to serve the Lord and being faithful to God, God is going to give us victory in the battles that we face. Amen. And so as we're going through this story, I just want you to be thinking about: are there some Goliaths in your life that you would really love to see come down in the name of Jesus? All right. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp near Ephes-Damon between Socah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. So we'll just pause right there. Now, I've never served in the military, and I really know nothing about military strategy, but I have watched the movie Glory many times. And I know this about a battle, and that is, when you're in a battle, you want to have the high ground. Now, in this case, both the Philistines and the Israelites have the high ground. They're both on opposing hills to one another. And then there's this valley in between. It's called the Valley of Elah. And the Valley of Elah, that word actually means it's like an oak tree. So you can picture this valley full of oak trees and then these two hills. And it's a standoff. It's a standoff because whoever goes first now is going to be at a disadvantage, right? Whoever goes first is going to be going uphill at the enemy. And so it's a standoff. And in the middle of the standoff, the champion of the Philistines, a guy by the name of Goliath, shows up. Now, you probably all learned about Goliath in Sunday school class, I'm sure, but I just want to remind you about how terrifying this guy must have been. In the next few verses, we learn that Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He had a coat of armor that weighed about 125 pounds. So he is—he's strong. He carried a bronze spear that was slung over his back, and this spear itself weighed 25 pounds. He also carried a large sword with him. So it's a pretty terrifying picture. And I admit, I'm reading between the lines here. It doesn't really say this, but I don't picture Goliath as being a particularly handsome man. So this guy is massive, he's frightening, and he has no fear. If you jump down to verse 10, we hear some of his words, so he says, "This day I defy the armies of Israel." I defy the, and when he does this, he's not only defying the army, he's defying God himself. He's defying the God of Israel. And so this goes on for 40 days. Every day for 40 days. In fact, not just every day, twice a day, every morning, every evening, Goliath comes out and he's defying God. He's defying the armies of Israel. Goliath was a mocker. And the Bible has a lot to say about mockery and the sin of mockery and mockers. Proverbs 21:24 says, "The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury." And then coming into the New Testament, Jude verse 18 says, "In the last times there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts." So mockery, and Satan is a mocker. And you've probably found that when you're in the midst of a personal battle, you can count on Satan coming along and mocking your faith. That's what he does. He's a mocker. And he's going to say things like, "There's no hope. God's not real. Your past is catching up to you. You deserve this. You're not loved. You're forgotten and forsaken. Just give up. It's not worth it." These are the mocking lies of the enemy. Now, I know this is kind of cliche-ish, and we've heard it over the years, but I love it. Whenever the devil tries to remind you of your past, you just remind him of his future. So true. And so, all of us, we face these battles, and sometimes it's not just the circumstances we're in. The circumstances we're in are actually a part of a spiritual battle. Now, I'm not saying every bad thing that happens in your life is spiritual warfare, But I do know this. I do know when we go through these battles, the enemy is always going to come and try to take advantage of us. And spiritual warfare is very real. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord. This is Paul writing to the early church about spiritual warfare, telling them it's very real. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. God has given us everything we need to be conquerors in the name of Jesus with every battle that we face. Amen? Yeah. So every day now, day and night, Goliath, he steps up to the battle line and defiantly mocking God and the people of God. And here's the deal. For 40 days, nobody does anything about it. They acted like they were going to do something about it. In fact, it's almost comical. Every time Goliath came up, the Bible says the armies of Israel went out to the battlefield shouting. They're out there, come on, we're going to get him today. This is our day. They're shouting. Then as soon as Goliath starts yelling back at them, they turn around terrified and run away. I mean, if it wasn't so sad, it would be funny. Every day they're out there, okay, this is our day. Finally, we're going to do it. Let's beat this guy. And every day they turn tail and run. Verse 11 says, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And then in verses 20 to 21, we learn that every day they're out there shouting, ready to go to battle, but not really ready to go to battle. Verse 24 says, whenever the Israelites saw the man, that is Goliath, they all fled from him in great fear. Listen, guys, the attacks of our enemy, the devil, they're very real. Satan is powerful. He is cunning. But I want to remind you today, the devil is no match for God. Come on. The devil is no match for God. You got to be convinced of that. You got to know that in your heart. Hallelujah. Listen, church, I believe the best days for Bethel Church are still ahead of you. I believe God is going to use this church in mighty and powerful ways, but it's going to mean warfare. It's going to mean being courageous. Amen? A stand for God. Listen, there are parts of our country, there are parts of our nation right now that I believe are so far gone, so lost, I don't know that there's much hope for that region. Okay? And Janice and I, we're about to move to one of those areas. The city of Seattle is one of the most godless cities in our nation. And to be honest with you, I don't hold out much hope for the city of Seattle. But I do know this, God is still at work there. And there's still hope for people there. And I believe that many, many people in these end times are going to come to Christ before Jesus comes back. And I'm looking forward to being a part of it. But as far as the actual city goes, I don't know. I don't know. But I will say this. I don't feel that way about the Rogue Valley. I believe there's still hope for the Rogue Valley. Do you? I believe there is. But it's going to take a church that's on fire for Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, on our knees before God, worshiping Jesus passionately, loving and serving people with the love of Christ. And it's certainly going to take a church that doesn't have any needs for begging for children's workers. Listen, guys, don't let the enemy intimidate you and discourage you. For every day for 40 days, Goliath sets up to the battle line, defiantly mocking God and the people of God, and nobody does anything about it. But all of this changes, of course, when a shepherd boy by the name of David shows up. Verse 26, David is speaking here, and he says, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" How many just love that right there? Just love it. Yes. Now, what do we know about David? He's just a young man, probably an older teenager at this point. We know a few things about David prior to this. We know he really loves the Lord. We know that he was very courageous. We also know that he's already been chosen by God and anointed by Samuel the prophet to be the next king of Israel. In the previous chapter, Samuel goes to David's home, and he's the son of a guy by the name of Jesse, and Jesse had several sons, and David was the youngest and smallest of all the boys. And so when Samuel shows up, of course, he's thinking, you know, he's going to anoint one of the older brothers, and God keeps saying no to each one of those. And Jesse, the dad, you know, he was so convinced that David wasn't the right guy that he didn't even bring David into the lineup. David was out, you know, watching the sheep, and so Samuel has to ask, you know, "You have any more boys?" And so David is brought in. And here's what the Lord says to Samuel. It says, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Can you say amen to that? So you might be here this morning. You might feel like, "Well, I'm not a very powerful Christian. I don't see myself as being much of a leader." You might, you know, think a lot of these things about yourself. But I want to encourage you today. God doesn't look at those outward things. God's looking at your heart. You just keep your heart right with Jesus, and you're going to be okay. Come on. You just keep your heart right with Jesus, and you're going to be okay. And then verse 13 in 1 Samuel 16 also says about David, "From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." So he loved the Lord. He was a man after God's heart, the Bible says. He was courageous. He was anointed. But he also had the Holy Spirit. And I want to remind you today that the same Holy Spirit who gave David the power to fight the giant is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you today. Amen? Yeah. You don't have to feel like you're something. You've got the same Holy Spirit living in you, and the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? So, yeah, God has given you everything you need to face down the giants in your life. So David is out at the battlefield. We'll go back to that. David's out there at the battlefield. He's starting to ask these questions. Word gets back to Saul that this young whippersnapper, David, is talking about going out and fighting Goliath. And so David is brought before Saul. And verse 32, they have quite a conversation, but part of it is this. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Let no one lose heart. Underline that, highlight that in your Bible. Let no one lose heart. Don't lose heart. You know, losing heart, that's one of the worst things that can happen to a person. It's one of the worst things that can happen. You can have a lot of difficult things happen in your life. But if you don't lose heart, God's going to get you through it. So David says, don't lose heart. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says to us, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we will not grow weary." Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, "Don't lose heart." Come on. Some of you, that's the word you need today. That's the word you need today. Don't lose heart. At the end of my message, we're going to have a time of prayer. And we're going to pray specifically for those of you who might be here today and you feel like maybe you've been losing heart. I'm going to ask God to restore your heart and your courage. So David says to Saul, "Don't lose heart. I'm going to go out and fight this guy." And then Saul really gives David some great words of encouragement. Verse 33, Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him." That is a great word for the commander to give his soldiers. "You are only a young man, and he's been a warrior from his youth." All right? And then picking up at verse 34, I don't have this on the screen. I want you to see David's reply back to Saul. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep.'" Well, that's not preparation for being a warrior, is it? Read on. "When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it." Now, I don't know about you. I see a lion or a bear come and take one of the sheep. I'm like, have at it. Thank God it's not me, you know? Not David. He went after it. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." So another great thing David had going for him is he had history with God. He had history with God. And guys, never forget that every battle you've already been through in your life is God preparing you and making you stronger. Hallelujah. Now look around this morning. Some of you have been through some big battles in the last 24 years. And I've watched you walk through those battles in the strength and power of Jesus. And even though you didn't feel strong at the time, God got you through it. And now you're a warrior. You're a warrior for Jesus. So then David gives this speech to Saul, and then Saul says, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Like, you would think that Saul maybe would have got some courage himself at this point. But no, you go. Sometimes it's easier to have faith for another person than it is for yourself. Yes. So Saul gets out his armor and gets David all dressed up in his armor. But David had never worn armor before. It didn't fit him right. David couldn't even walk around in the armor, let alone try to fight with it on. So David says, thanks, but no thanks. And he took up his shepherd's staff, his sling, and five stones from a stream. Listen, guys, never feel like the way God is going to use you has to look like the way God has used somebody else. Amen? Yeah. Like this, there was a way Saul did things, there was a way David did things. And the way David did things looked totally different, but God was in it. Okay? So never, you know, don't live life by comparison. God might use you in a, probably will. He will use you in a very unique way, right? Because God has created you to be you. So don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to wear anybody else's armor, right? You just be the person God created you to be and see what God does through your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then beginning at verse 41, we learn that Goliath looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health, the Bible says, and handsome. He was handsome. And so Goliath despised him. See, now I think that means Goliath was not a good-looking guy. He was. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Okay, the mockery again. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. But David said to the Philistine, verse 45, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus. David knew that. There's power in the name of Jesus. Psalm 8:1 says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 124:8, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And then Acts 3:6, famous miracle, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. In the name of Jesus. This is how we do warfare, guys. In the name of the Lord, amen. It's not our own strength. It's not our own wisdom. It's not our own power, our own ability. It's in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. And then verse 47, David also said, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. I'm not going to read the rest of the story. You guys know how it ends. I want to end right there. The battle is the Lord's. Whatever battle you're facing today, the battle is the Lord's. Amen? Yeah, the battle belongs to the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Would you just bow your heads with me for a moment? Hallelujah. How many of you this morning just, you needed a couple of reminders today? And the Word of God has encouraged your heart today. Just raise your hand up. Yeah, you needed a couple of reminders. Maybe the reminder you needed today was not to lose heart. Not to lose heart. Maybe the reminder that you needed today is the battle belongs to the Lord. Belongs to the Lord. Maybe the reminder that you needed today is that we do battle in the name of the Lord. And His name is a strong, mighty tower. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed right now, I just want to pray for you. Are you here today? And maybe you've been losing heart in some way, and you just feel you're not defeated, but you feel kind of defeated today. And you need God to just bring an infusion of faith and encouragement to your heart. You need to be reminded that He's with you, that the battle belongs to Him, that no matter what Goliath that you're facing today, that God is able, God is on your side, God is fighting with you, God is fighting through you. And in the name of Jesus, you're going to be victorious. In the name of Jesus, you're going to win. You're going to overcome. You're not only going to get through this battle, you're going to be victorious in the battle. The Bible says, I'm not making this up, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The battle belongs to the Lord, church. Hallelujah. So if that's you today, you just need to be reminded and you just want to be prayed for today. You want to be prayed for and encouraged in your spirit by this. Lift your hand up to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Yeah, hands all over this place. I'm going to ask every one of you that has your hand up, would you stand to your feet right now? Just stand up right now because we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, church, look around. Look around, and now you get up and you go stand with someone. You might not even know their name, but you go stand with someone who's standing up right now. And we're going to pray together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to verbalize this, the word of God. Verbalize this today. The battle belongs to the Lord. All right, let's say it all together. The battle belongs to the Lord. Say it again. The battle belongs to the Lord. One more time. The battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare victory in the house today. We declare that our strength is in the Lord. We declare today that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. We declare today that we have power because the Holy Spirit fills our lives. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal bodies. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord, that David was victorious out on the battlefield, even though he was outsized. God, the enemy might look so big sometimes. We feel like we're outmatched. We feel like we're outnumbered. We feel like we're undersized. But I thank you, Lord, today that you being with us, me, us and you, we're a majority. And in the name of Jesus, we speak life. We speak courage. We speak faith right now. Hallelujah. We're going to stand in you, God. We're going to stand in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I pray even now, God, also, that you just bring a tender comfort. Tender comfort. Some of these people standing, they're wounded. They've been wounded in battle. And I pray right now that the oil of your Holy Spirit will come and be poured out on those wounds, bringing healing. Healing to our hearts, Lord. Healing to our thoughts and our emotions. Healing to even our faith, God, that's been attacked by the enemy. We declare today that the mocking voice of the enemy is a lie, and that God, you alone bring truth to our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. We stand with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I pray, God, that every one of them, even as we pray today, they're going to know they're not alone. Maybe they felt like they're alone. They're not alone. They've got a church family that's standing with them right now. And God, most importantly, you're with them. You're with them. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Let's sing to the Lord this morning. Let's praise Him.